Spring break is next week for many students in public schools and colleges, certainly on the Oregon side, and it sure is nice of the gray whales to show up for potential entertainment during that week. The whales are on the move again just 3 months after they headed south. Now they're heading north. And the Oregon coast will be a friendly place to look for whales. Even if you don't see them, the odds are good you'll meet somebody on the coast ready to help you look for them. Let's talk about Spring Whale Watch Week. Renee Fowler is a Whale Watch Week interpretive ranger and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Renee, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Happy to be here.
Well, good to have you. So let's talk about what's going on with the whales. Now, it was just, what, 3 months ago they were heading south?
That's correct, yes. And then they are ready to turn around and head north, and that would be mainly because they haven't eaten for 5 to 6 months. There's not any food down where they head south in the Baja area, the breeding grounds. So they have food on the mind and are heading back north. Most of them are heading to Alaska. Most of them feed up in the Bering and Chukchi Sea, and we have the opportunity to view them as they're coming by our coastline.
So will the whales look, I mean, granted, you're not going to be able to tell, I guess, unless you have really good binoculars. But, I mean, I'm just curious about how different they might be physically if they've gone without food for this many months.
You bring up a good point. We don't really notice most of the juveniles and adults that we're seeing now a difference. Granted, most of them are about a mile off the shoreline, sometimes a little further, and every once in a while in half a mile. We're mainly seeing the spouting and a back, sometimes a tail fluke. So as far as the majority of their body, which is 35 to 45 feet in length, we aren't able to compare. But here in May, when we see the majority of the mothers with new calves, they are very emaciated. Since we're not seeing them until May, that means they're going much longer without eating and they've been feeding their calves. So it is more visible with those moms with calves. They're usually closer in, about half a mile off the shoreline, so we can have a better view of them as well.
So the trip to Baja is essentially just the trip to the maternity ward?
Yes, that's correct. definitely, they have breeding on the mind. The males get down there and breed until they're satisfied and head back. And then the females that are newly pregnant are what we're also seeing right now on the beginning of the northern migration. And as I said prior, the mothers with new calves stay around the lagoons longer to feed those calves. So they build up enough blubber to go into the colder waters.
All right. So is this a longer migration pattern on the northbound end than it is when everybody's heading south?
Yes, you are correct. The southern migration is much shorter in length. Usually December and January is when we see the bulk of those whales migrating south. And in the peak of that, end of December, beginning of January, we'll see anywhere from 28 to 32 whales per hour. Where this northern migration is much more staggered, and it usually goes from the very end of February through May. So they're all leaving the lagoons at different times based on if they've already participated in the breeding. And they take their time. They're traveling on average about 3 miles per hour, so not speedy travelers, which gives us the opportunity to see them as they come by. And they will come in and snack. Like I said, they haven't eaten for several months, so we'll have the opportunity to see them snack as they come in a little bit closer to the shoreline.
How can you tell they're snacking? Is there some motion or something that makes it obvious what they're doing?
Yes. They do have some unique behaviors, and when they are feeding, they'll typically stay in one area for anywhere from 15 minutes to several hours, and that's an indication that they are feeding in that area. Also, they feed down towards the bottom of the ocean floor, and here along the Oregon coast, they're feeding on mysid shrimp, little tiny crustaceans that are in swarms in the kelp beds. They're about the size of a mosquito, and they will dive down, so we'll see that tail fluke, and they'll be down for multiple minutes, and then they will come up to take a breath, and they'll take a series of usually three spouts or blows, we refer to, and that's the best way to originally spot where these whales are. And then they'll go down again. And if they're staying in the same area as opposed to continuing to move north in front of us, we know that most likely they're feeding.
That's pretty amazing, though, to think about their food supply being something that is so small. So they really have to pull in a lot of those little critters to be able to satisfy themselves.
They do. They definitely spend 24 hours a day all summer long feeding for that reason, so that they can take in as much as they possibly can, eating up to 1 ton a day of these mysa shrimps. Or up in Alaska, they are feeding on amphipods, which are also a very small crustacean, about the size of an M&M. And they dedicate all summer long to feeding. Like I said, they could be snacking right now. Their throat is only the size of a grapefruit, so they wouldn't be able to take anything big as far as a food source in anyhow. They're filter feeding with baleen plates. So they filter feed these little crustaceans, they take them in, and the crustaceans stick to their baleen, and then they lick them off with their tongue.
That's amazing to think their throats are so small. I mean, you look at the size of a gray whale, which is about the size of, I guess, a school bus, and you think of it as being able to swallow a Volkswagen Beetle or something, but not even close.
That's correct. It's pretty incredible.
Renee Fowler is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a Whale Watch Week interpretive ranger. Spring Whale Watch Week coming up next week along the Oregon coast. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments, or share your own stories about whale watching expeditions to the coastline. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. That works anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760. The email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So given the drawn-out nature of the northbound migration, I mean, is there a fairly reliable date upon which it peaks and you get the greatest chance to look for whales?
You know, I really wish there was. I will say from year to year, we definitely see a peak around mid-March to end of March, and, you know, that can change. It seems like the migration both south and north, they were all migrating a little bit early this year in comparison to past years. We've even seen a few mother and calf pairs already, which is very early. So it's hard to tell, but this is definitely a big month for spotting gray whales during their northern migration. And just yesterday from the Depot Bay Whale Center, we spotted 24 gray whales migrating past just during our operation hours of 10 to 4. So we are in that peak of the migration at this time.
That's a pretty good number, 24 over just the business day.
Correct.
All right. So what are the best conditions then? I mean, I know having been out there on the ocean in gray conditions, and we're dealing with gray whales, it seems like it might be a little easier on a sunny day.
That is correct, most definitely. As I was speaking of the count that we had yesterday, it was a nice sunny day. The ocean was fairly calm, so we didn't have those really huge swells or a lot of white caps, which can make it very challenging for whale watching. You know, if it's cloudy, it can be very difficult to have any visibility to look out to a mile to even see where they are traveling. So clear, sunny conditions are always the best, yet we do live here in Oregon, and that is not always the case. So we will be out there during the watch week, which is the 21st through the 28th, every day, no matter what the weather conditions are. And as you spoke earlier, we will have volunteers out there from 10 to 1. And we will be helping visitors spot whales, depending on the conditions. If we're not able to see anything, we would love to share our knowledge and information with visitors so that when it does clear up, they're able to spot whales themselves.
And the volunteers are out there 10 to 1 at a bunch of different places. I mean, it looks like you have, what, two dozen altogether?
That's correct. We have 24 different designated site locations, and those do spread along the coastline. They all have a great overlooking view of the ocean, and they are anywhere from Ilwaco, Washington, all the way down to Crescent City, California. So lots of options based on where people are traveling over on the coast.
And does height help? I know I've asked this question in the past, but the higher you get, is it a little easier to see them when they're further out?
Yes, that's correct. It is. You just have to remember the higher up in elevation that you are, there's going to be more ocean that you're viewing as far as the overlook to the horizon. And you want to remember that these whales right now are traveling on average about a mile off the shoreline. But being up higher, you have that visibility to really look for that spout. We have a great location at Cape Foulweather where you can see 30 miles out to the horizon. And so these whales are going to be just in that very first quarter of a mile section of the ocean there from your visibility. But sometimes when they're in close, you can see their whole body along with the spouts, which is pretty incredible.
Renee, is there any difference in how far they are from shore on the southbound versus the northbound migration?
Yes, there is. The northbound migration is very fun for visitors and for those that are experienced in watching whales because they are in closer. We have the opportunity to get a better look at them from their markings on their back to their tail flukes. Whereas in the southern migration, they're on a much more direct path. They don't come into snack typically, so they're going to be 3 to 5+ miles off the shoreline. So really, binoculars are handy to have during that southern migration. It can be more challenging to see them with the naked eye. Whereas yesterday, visitors were able to see these whales going by our coastline without binoculars, just standing off the shoreline looking with the naked eye.
It's interesting to think that they maintain an almost human-like pattern with the traffic on the right.
Very true.
We have a call here. Stephen Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Renee Fowler. We're talking about Whale Watch Week.
Howdy. Just before this segment of the program, there was a report on NPR that ocean temperatures around Oregon and Washington have risen by 7 degrees because of El Nino, possibly climate change. I'm wondering if this has affected the migration of the whales as far as how far they come into the coastline, or has anybody even looked at that yet?
All right, so good question about whether there's been an effect from the warmer ocean on the whale migration. Thanks for that, Steve. Renee, what do you hear?
Thanks, Steve. That's great information. Yeah, we have been keeping an eye on the weather and ocean water temperatures, and on average, we've been seeing it's about 53 degrees as far as that water temperature. In regard to your question, we have not noticed changes that I can speak to. I know that there are NOAA scientists that are currently in the Central California coast that are observing the gray whales as they are coming up on the California coast. And so far, I haven't heard anything from them. We haven't seen any changes here. As far as we can tell, their food source along the Oregon coastline is very prevalent as far as those mysid shrimps. So not really seeing changes in their migration patterns or feeding patterns, luckily, so far.
Yeah, the question is an interesting one, too, because I was reading just this morning that that there are types of plankton and things low on the food chain that don't normally come into waters this cold, but they're starting to show up here.
Right.
Yeah, so it's good to hear the food supply looks like it's pretty good. Renee, how many years have you been a whale watch interpretive ranger?
I have been a whale watching interpretive ranger and coordinator for 2 years now, and I also had the opportunity to be a whale watching spoken here volunteer for 2 years prior to that.
Okay, I was curious about the run of years simply because I wondered if given the span of a couple of decades or something, if there's any great variation, if it's a pretty predictable regular thing each year, if there's some years when it's a real boom and you see a lot more whales than you used to, and some years when it's a bust.
Yeah, it definitely has varied. You know, this program, the Whale Watching Spoken Here program, has been in place since 1978, and obviously there have been a lot of different rangers involved and volunteers involved, yet the reporting is all on file, and, you know, based on different years, we have had, of course, different numbers. The population for the gray whales is upward around 20,000. And that's a very, very good number, very healthy number. Last year, there were over 1,000 calves that were born. That was a very high amount of calves that were born. And so far, it seems that, you know, their patterns and their population are doing very well, and it's very healthy.
Are gray whales protected?
They are, yes. They are protected. There are some tribes that are able to go ahead and participate in whaling in order to feed their families. The gray whales are protected overall, and there are very specific guidelines as far as how close boats can get to them off of the coastline here. And so far, it seems like they're doing well. You know, they do have risks as far as traveling along this route where there are quite a few boats that are also traveling near their migration route along with crab pots and nets and things that they could come across and could possibly be entangled in.
You anticipated the question very well because I was heading toward whether people are allowed to approach in boats and if so, how far away they have to stay.
They are not allowed to approach, and they are to stay at least 100 yards away from these whales. They're also not permitted to at all change the route, so they are not to get in front of the whales or get between, you know, two whales that might be traveling together. So these are in place, and it's a good thing because, you know, we don't want these whales being injured. They already have enough that they're going through, and they are traveling on average about 12,000 miles round trip. So, you know, at this time, they've been traveling for a long time. They haven't eaten. So as much as we can keep them safe and prevent from causing them any stress, the better.
That is an amazing journey. So are the mothers eating at this point on the trip north?
You know, I have not seen any mothers that have been eating. The mothers with calves that we've seen have been on a direct route, at least in front of our viewing location in Depot Bay. Haven't seen them coming in to feed. It does not mean that they haven't. They are still nursing their calves, but they are getting to the point along this migration to where they're teaching their calves how to feed on the same food source that they feed on, those little crustaceans. So they could quite possibly be coming in to feed during this route north along the coastline.
Well, Mama puts up with some sacrifice for sure to raise the kids.
Oh, moms do, definitely.
What do we know about the numbers of people who show up on each of the Whale Watch weeks, both winter and spring?
Yes, yeah, so we do pick these particular weeks for the Southern Migration and the Winter Whale Watch Week. It is right after Christmas. And for the Spring Watch Week, it does coincide with Oregon's spring break. And we purposefully do that because not only is it in line with the migration of these gray whales, but we have lots of visitors coming over the coastline. So in order to ask our volunteers to staff these 24 site locations, we want to make sure that they're going to have visitors that are going to be joining them with questions and wanting to know what the excitement is about. And so we have the opportunity to speak with thousands of visitors. Last year, for the 2014 Spring Whale Watch Week, we spoke with almost 13,000 visitors along the coastline, and the sighting of gray whales was over 1,200.
All right, 13,000 people and 1,200 whale sightings. It's a busy springtime out there on Whale Watch Week. Next week on the Oregon coast, Renee Fowler is a Whale Watch Week interpretive ranger. Renee, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey, and I would just like to say thank you to all of those Whale Watching Spoken Here volunteers that are out there battling the weather conditions and speaking with visitors and spotting whales. We couldn't have this program without you.